make some mind control over others and extract money out of them so they can live a very comfortable life. I just don't see it. I see that they get up in the morning, they chant their rounds, they study the Srimad Bhagavatam, they preach Srimad Bhagavatam. And they live basically a saintly life. There is management, and management there, you can't always do what everyone always wants, and it's a pushing movement. Which means you're pushing people. Sometimes when you push them, they may get hurt a bit. That's also there. But I really don't see that the leaders are very much... It's like the whole thing's completely corrupt, which is what you'll get from some of these internet sites. They have the idea that certain people are just enjoying their situation. Phew! Enjoying being a GBC? What is there to enjoy? Janak was saying he thought I was a GBC. No, not me. I mean, what's the fun? I mean, there may be a little, there may be some kind of prestige, but mostly it's just so many different people's problems trying to adjust in Krishna consciousness and different temples, how to keep them open, financial problems, and so many different things. And on top of that, you're being accused of so many different things. I mean... I don't see how anyone can say you're trying to enjoy your position. Who here has ever been a temple president or some kind of manager in our movement? You have, right? Put your hand up. Not many. Anyone else? That's it. Well, you don't know what it's like to manage unless you do it. Actually, when I was quite new in the Krishna consciousness movement, I think about 3 months in the movement, somehow or other I was made the treasurer for all of ISKCON in Britain. So I was great close up. Treasurer means like handling the money and accounts also. So right when I was very new in the movement, I could immediately see how I was very close to the leaders of the movement in Britain. I could see this. You know. A lot of pressure on them, a lot of strain. It's very easy to criticize managers, but it's not very easy to manage. What do you think? It's very easy to manage. You simply stretch out your toes and click your fingers and say, you do this, you do that, bring me an orange juice, and like that. Is it like that? I mean, that's just a little preaching center, right, in Osijek. Can you imagine what it's like to manage a GPC zone? It's not very easy. So I was talking about this point of public life, private life. Now, accusations of cover-up and all this kind of thing. Now, actually, in some sense, you could say there have been cover-ups, that leaders have done things which they shouldn't have done. And it's not that everyone's, all the leaders who know about it have immediately run out the door and declared to everybody, hey, so-and-so, smoked a cigarette or something like that. There's a reason for that. Because it comes from Prabhupada actually. One of Prabhupada's most dynamic leaders, Sannyasi. Dynamic, I mean he got the whole Krishna conscious movement in Australia moving, really expanding, and Prabhupada was very pleased with his service. But It came to be known that along with doing his dynamic service, even though he was in the sannyas ashram, he had some fall down. He had some more than one girlfriend actually, which is, you know, obviously it's completely against the principles of sannyas, and it's not at all proper for a GPC or anything like that. Now Prabhupada's response, as in so many cases, it wasn't to condemn him. Although obviously he didn't condone this, but his response was he wanted to call him and say, be with me, come and stay with me. He said, I want your service. He said, whatever's happened has happened, but you shouldn't give up Krishna consciousness. I'm very pleased with the service that you've rendered. Now I want you to continue with your service. He said, if you want, you can get married, but continue with your service. He didn't reject it. Now, another sannyasi had written a few letters, it's before the days before email turned, made a few phone calls to other members, so the news of this had spread. And Prabhupada wrote to that sannyasi that by spreading this news, you've made it very difficult for him to come back because he'll be so much ashamed. Now, there's a lot to be understood from this, that Prabhupada, he didn't, I was actually in Vrindavan, I think it must have been about April 76 or something like that, when that ex-sannyasi, now married, came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he said, he was afraid that Prabhupada, will you reject me? Prabhupada said, no, how can I reject you? You did so much service. Prabhupada said that I'm not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm not God, I can't do everything by myself. I have to, whoever comes, I have to accept their service. I'm very pleased with the service you did. So I can't reject you, you did so much. So Prabhupada's attitude was, he very much tried to see the good and bring out the good, and he acted to, if there were discrepancies, but he didn't reject. We only know of one case of one person who Prabhupada rejected, actually. It was one of his Sanskrit assistants who, by studying Sanskrit, thought that by reading so many things, he thought that he had understood some things more than Prabhupada. He thought Prabhupada is just teaching on a very primary level and he has to go higher. And he wrote a letter to Prabhupada that, please give me your blessing. Thank you for all you've done for me. Please give me your blessings so I can get a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada replied that, I give you my blessings, you won't find a spiritual master in thousands of births. He wrote a letter, don't let this person, he has come to our temples, he has become a snake. But generally, for sensual fall down, Prabhupada didn't reject. And even struggle, power play, this is my zone, I should be in charge, this kind of thing, Prabhupada didn't reject. Rather, he used that competitive spirit of young Americans, which the leaders of, of course, all the, one thing you have to bear in mind, all the leaders and GBCs and everything, they were in their 20s at that time. So they had a, what you might call a boisterous spirit, competitive spirit. But Prabhupada used that to, write letters saying that, I see your zone is being defeated in book distribution now. And then the leader, what, my zone's getting defeated? And get out, distribute books, we have to be number one. So he took advantage of that competitive spirit, took advantage, if you like, for spreading Krishna consciousness. But that covering up, if you like, that came from Prabhupada, actually. He didn't like that anyone who has any fault, which is quite possible when you're trying to be Krishna conscious and you're coming from a very sinful background, and in a sinful world, which is not conducive for becoming Krishna conscious, everywhere we're surrounded by the sense objects, by advertisements for sensual fall down. So, Prabhupada's attitude was not to spread it everywhere. Just see, so-and-so fell down, he did this, he did that. But he appointed the GBC, he gave the word watchdog. Do you know this term, watchdog? Watchdog means they should, if any problem, any intruder comes, boom, boom, you should bark. Don't let them come. So the GBC were appointed as, they're supposed to stop any philosophical discrepancies. But not necessarily make every problem open to everyone, because as I was discussing yesterday, there will be discrepancies, there will be problems, but if everyone talks about that all the time, what's the point? You're not going to become Krishna conscious. If at the end of life you think of everyone who ever fell down, then what are you going to become? A worm in stool. The goal of life is to think of Krishna. Now, it could be said that I'd say it's true that in many senses the GBC have been lax, weak in their position of watchdogs. And it may be also that they're reluctant to watch each other. Inasmuch as, well, when you know someone very well, you don't feel very inclined to point out their fault, even though if a leader is doing something which is not exactly on the line given by Prabhupada, then it can become very dangerous, more so than if a junior devotee does so. But there is that tendency that we don't want to offend others. We don't want to make. If you say to someone something, they may get upset, and then you're afraid of making Vaishnava aparads. So there is, or at least has been, a culture in our movement, maybe of laxity, of not watching for discrepancies, and discrepancies have crept in. But now that's changed, for better or for worse. It's not within our control, due to the internet, on which any problem or any perceived problem is immediately broadcast everywhere for those who are interested to read it. That's what I was saying. That's more like the American idea of openness, whereas Prabhupada's idea, it's actually coming from Vedic cultures, that there's a respect for elders, and the idea is that if there are any problems among elders or seniors, they should sort it out at their level. It's not really just like in a joint family. In India, until recently, almost everyone lived in joint families, in which there are different generations, the grandparents and then the parents and then the children. So if there's a problem at this among the, it may be that even the brothers, they have some disagreement, but generally the children, they'll hardly even know about it. It's not their level of, it's not for them. It's for the, if there's any disagreement, it's for the brothers at that level to sort out among themselves. They don't disturb the children with that. So that's part of Vedic culture. The American idea is, Western democratic idea, whatever you want to call it, is that everyone's equal, everything's open, and 15-year-old can challenge a 50-year-old. It's a different culture, a different way of thinking. So anyway, that idea of keeping things, not putting everything out in the open, which is more like Vedic culture, that is that's been changed, certainly by the internet, in which any problems in our society are immediately broadcast everywhere. Usually, there are certain websites which broadcast these things, usually in a, in an inflammatory way. And also they add their own view of it. Especially there are some sites which they basically believe that ISKCON is as a corrupt organization. Instead of seeing any fault as people who are basically sincere but not perfect, instead they see it as people who are basically insincere, and this is the, any fault they show is the manifestation of this. So I mean, you have to decide for yourself. It's no use me staying up here and saying that ISKCON is perfect, believe it, this is the only way, and you have to make your own decision, that's all. But as far as I'm concerned, I really don't see, and I think it's very unfair that this kind of propaganda is going on, that all the ISKCON is basically a corrupt organization. Like I say, I don't see. I mean, if it's a corrupt organization, for instance, why so much trouble to organize this camp, and what does Sachinanda Maharaj get from sitting for 4 hours in the morning and Jayapati Maharaj 4 hours in the evening with all of you? I mean, I've seen corrupt Vaishnavism in Bengal, where the gurus, they just come around and they just take a big meal and collect their funds and that's it. They really don't give anything to their disciples at all. But I mean, it's up to you to decide, but that you have to see. Now, as I said, I only got three questions. One of them was a personal question. It was, how can I be Krishna conscious in a when I'm doing my job is not really connected with the subject of the seminar. I mean, it's an individual, personal problem, which I guess I could answer otherwise. Apart from that, I got two questions, which they're really, we don't really need so many questions because these are kind of typical of the whole kind of questions that come up. Here's a great one. Okay, on internet I found a statement about Gopal Krishna Maharaj's connection with mafia. You ever heard that one before, Sridhar Maharaj? You heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Really, I don't know anything about it. Okay, I'm going to give my speculations and then please don't say anything.
He's got a little Italian in his blood, you know what I mean?
Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, he looks really Italian, doesn't he?
The Prime Minister's going to be Italian.
Oh, I see. You mean he's, really? They're going to come in?
According to one of the biggest astrologers,
Carvey. Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna, I was hoping the BJP would come back. You don't know. This is Indian politics. Oh, you see? ISKCON leaders, we're discussing Indian politics, you see. You know? Very dangerous. We're exposed. What are they?
Eating, sleeping,
meeting,
and defending.
Yeah. Eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. And the four main problems facing the GBC are birth, death, new age, and disease. You know that one also, right? Okay, Gopal Krishnaraj's connection with the mafia, but nobody from ISKCON gave an explanation. Do you know something about it? Well, I can answer that in one word, no, I don't. Now, I'll put a few speculations out. Nobody gave an explanation. Well, do you know about Sahodra Maharaj's connection with Dracula? That while he's in...
Could you tell us about? Sounds interesting.
He's the GBC. Do you know why he's the GBC for Romania? Because actually he's got a plot to breed werewolves and Draculas and set them on the... No, you know, you don't know about this, and why no one from ISKCON is giving an explanation? I mean, do you have to give an explanation for everything? His connection with the mafia. So from this we understand that although Gopal Krishna Maharaj, whenever you see him, he's either chanting his rounds or discussing some management situation or reading Prabhupada's books, sometime when no one's looking, maybe when he's in the bathroom, he has some secret connection with the mafia. I mean, does anyone want an explanation? I don't know what it is. Sridhar Maharaj is going to tell us. Okay, I'm going to give my speculation. Okay, you want to hear it? The mafia in India, there's what's called the land mafia. It's quite strong. If you want to buy land in Vrindavan, for instance, you have to pay off the local mafia because, you know, they get their cut. So I have no idea what this is because I don't look on Pada. You know what Pada is? It's a website dedicated to putting out statements like Gopal Krishna Maharaj has a connection with the mafia. So it may be that, this is my speculation, there's some transaction or land purchase or something, and he if you do anything in like that in Vrindavan, you have to pay off the what is called the land, the local mafia. So it may be something like that, I don't know. That's my speculation. Otherwise, I really don't think that, you know, Gopal Krishna, when he goes in the bathroom, he puts on a pair of dark glasses and starts smoking a cigar and starts speaking in Italian on the phone. Okay, shit.
Actually, every property has to have three trustees on it anyway.
Oh.
So it would have to be Gopal Krishna Maharaj and two or three other GBC lab connections with them. I mean, you know, even if it is that, your speculation is probably a pretty good speculation.
Oh.
You know, we do deal with all kinds of people. I mean, if Bill Clinton comes to the temple, are you going to conclude that ISKCON has now got a relationship with, what's her name?
Monica.
Monica.
Levinsky. Levinsky.
That was a little more censored.
Yeah, I would think that anyone who is attracted to going onto such websites, I mean, if you really think there's any credibility in this, that, you know, you have your own problems. People who, I mean, I've seen, there's a website called PADA, which stands for Prabhupada Anti-Defamation Association or something like that. So it's actually difficult to understand. It's like if you're trying to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, first you have to understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, right? So to understand what PADA is saying, you have to have a background. I mean, they talk about pedophiles and what is the other words? All this file and that file, all these kind of... And you have to understand their philosophy, or whatever you want to call it, which, in other words, their opinion is that basically the GBC is dedicated to child abuse and homosexuality and all these things. So, I mean, if you want to read that, you can. There's nothing to stop you. But it appears to be the... I mean, my opinion, it appears to be the work of someone who's not very objective, to say the least. Now, another thing...
So it's true that we should have an organization where there are enough checks and balances at a higher level that these suspicions don't even enter.
Yeah.
And we're working on
that. Yeah, I agree, yeah.
To attack a man like Gopal Krishna Maharaj's character is superlative.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It just blows my mind.
It's amazing, isn't it?
If it can't be that I'm with the mafia, I can believe it. I want to get some of their money, you know.
Well, maybe Gopal Krishna Maharaj does too, because he brings in lots of money. To build that temple in Delhi, it wasn't built by going around with a basket after some program in Pula. Actually, that's one of the main funders of that temple is one of the biggest businessmen in India. So big businessmen in India, I'm sure they all have connections with the mafia and this and that.
Apart from that, what's his name, Tirumangai Alwar, how do you think Ranganath temple was built?
You all know that story? I don't know, that really blows people's minds, that story.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it applies to look what Guru Kripa was doing, and Prabhupada, did you hear that one time Prabhupada was saying, sometimes people accuse our Guru Kripa of being a thief. Did you hear that? Prabhupada said, but if someone steals something and someone else takes it from him and gives it back to the original owner, then he's not a thief. He's the most moral person. So similarly, our Guru Kripa Maharaj, everyone in this world is a thief. They're all taking from Krishna. So if he takes from them and gives it back to Krishna, he is the most moral person. What do you think of that? Hare Krishna.
Ako neću od vas jedan crni Opel Corsa stavi 50 registracija ne, i jedan zeleni Dubrovačka registracija tamo parkirani, trebao bi pomjeriti.
Yeah, now that Sri Ramar is making an important point that Prabhupada also said Caesar's wife should be above suspicion. That means those who are in a position of leadership, it shouldn't be suspected that such things could go on. Actually, like you say, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and also Sridhar Maharaj have both been sannyasis for many years, and there was some accusation against you once, but I don't think anyone took it very... I mean, maybe someone took it very seriously, but basically they've both been sannyasis, both Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Sridhar Maharaj have been sannyasis for many years, and there's been no... if they wanted to have meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication, they would have done. How long have you been sannyasi? About 27 years now, something like that? 25. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj, maybe 20 years like that. So, I don't know, I really don't think Prabhupada and Krishna will appreciate this. I mean, if there are valid accusations or problems, that should be brought up in a mature Vaishnava way and dealt with. But simply to accuse people, it's It's not proper. I don't think Krishna will be pleased. Now, as Sridhar Maharaj is saying, Caesar's wife should be above suspicion. In other words, these kind of accusations shouldn't come. And they have been coming, and the GBC is working on making systems for proper checks and balances so that it's understood that anybody at any time can exercise their independence, the infinitesimal independence which Krishna has given us. They may misuse that. So if some leader of the Krishna Conscious Movement does that, there should be checks and balances within the society so that the balance can be put in balance by checking. In other words, so that these things, it doesn't go on. So as Sridhar Maharaj was saying, just like any property of ISKCON, there have to be three property trustees. It's not that any single GBC can own a property or can be the single trustee. Now here's another question in that this regard. Why are those leaders who knew about child abuse didn't speak about them openly? And why are there some of the people who did it still in positions in ISKCON? Not only sexual, but also, I'm not sure if this is psychic torture or physical torture. So the problem of child abuse. Recently the problem of child abuse has been highlighted in our society. In the 70s and I believe in the early 80s, there was a problem of child abuse in some of our gurukuls, which has been publicly, it's been made public that this happened in by our ISKCON devotees. Now those who want to criticize ISKCON, they say that, well, you see, it's a whole society of child abusers. Now these things did happen, yes. They happened in the past, and in the meantime, our movement has made very big steps to stop child abuse from happening. Some of the people who are put in positions in Gurukul, actually it's a fact that sometimes wrong people are appointed, people who, because they weren't very good at doing other services, it wasn't proper. The best, actually Prabhupada said this, sannyasi should teach in Gurukul. But mostly the sannyasis were out preaching. So sometimes some people were put in. Another thing is that often, if you want to study psychologically, is that often people who have the propensity for child abuse put themselves in a position where they can do it. Do you know that? Just like they'll marry an unmarried mother who's got a young child, specifically for the purpose of abusing the child. So they may become teachers with some kind of perverted mentality to do that. So there was child abuse within our movement. That there was brought out into the public by members of our movement. And there are stringent systems within our movement now for stopping. There haven't been reported cases of child abuse for, I think, how long? For maybe 15 years or something like that. In other words,
No, there have been recent
also.
We're living in a society where it's going on everywhere.
But the things which are being most publicized, there was a lot going on, in other words, about in the early days of the Vrindavan Gurukul, like that.
And there's a lot of cases that are coming up now that refer to incidents that happened 15 years ago.
Right, the cases are coming up now. So yes, it was a problem, it is a problem. It is a problem in Karmi society also. And the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement are joining this movement. They may not joining, it's not that everyone's an avatar from Golok Vrindavan. We're all coming from background, very bad backgrounds. And our movement is liberal enough to accept many people. So it's not possible to know exactly where everyone's psychologically at. So things may happen. But the real test will be not so much that things may happen that we don't want to happen is practically guaranteed, but how we respond to it, that will be the test. Now in the past, we either didn't respond to it or didn't respond to it sufficiently, but certainly at the present time, I mean this year, all the money from book distribution in America, which is has always been sent to India for building Mayapur Temple, is being used for anti-child abuse measures. How about that? I mean, it's a pretty big step. Not everyone agrees that it should. So much should be done. It's so much should be put into it. But at least you can say that our movement's taking this thing very seriously. So discrepancies are there. Now, what's this? So that movement's trying to take care of that. Why didn't we speak about? Why wasn't it spoken about openly? Well, I think I spoke about that before. How Prabhupada didn't. That was the culture within our movement was not to speak about it openly. Maybe that went too far. That people took advantage of that to go on doing things which they shouldn't do. But anyway, those days are over because everything's open now, like it or not. Why are some of the people who did child abuse in positions in ISKCON? I don't know which people who actually were doing child abuse. I don't think anyone's in any position in ISKCON or even in ISKCON at all. So I don't see how this is a valid accusation. As far as psychic torture or mental torture, I don't know. It's very difficult to define that, what that means. I mean, physical torture, mental torture, what's the limit? I mean, when I was a kid, I got beaten about by my teachers at school. I don't know. Or maybe that's why I'm such a nut now. I don't know. But I mean, what are the limits? Prabhupada said that the children should never be beaten. That was his standard. We deviated from that. That's not good. But at least growing up in modern life, in modern society, I mean, I haven't grown up in the Gurukul, so I can't say, but it's generally, I don't know what it's like in Croatia. I'm sure it's pretty tough too. I grew up near London, and it's generally pretty rough growing up. Get into a few fights and do something wrong, and the teachers get physical punishment. So Prabhupada didn't approve of that, but on the other hand, some level of roughness shouldn't be in our schools, but then in the Kami schools it may be there also to the same extent, which doesn't make it any better, but it's a rough, tough. I mean, like I say, our devotees are coming off the streets, and it's a bad world. There's child abuse, it's all throughout the society, sexual perversion in different ways. The whole modern society is permeated. Look, even the President of America. And I don't think people were particularly shocked when they heard about President Clinton's affairs. They're probably thinking, you know, well, I wish it was me. And most people are doing that. Most people, I don't know, but it's not such an uncommon thing that people have extramarital affairs. So we are living in a very perverse society, and people are joining our movement, and they have a perverse background, and not everyone's becoming a pure devotee overnight. So these things have happened, are happening, and probably will happen, but it's up to our society to put systems into place whereby these things are checked, although we may not be able to keep it out altogether. And that we can't keep it out altogether doesn't mean that our society is not bona fide. It's going on everywhere. I mean, Madhva Sampradaya, different branches of the Gauriya Math, they all have the same thing, yeah.
Lord Brahma was created and he was attacked by two homosexuals.
Yeah.
It's been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
In India, Keshav.
Sadhu, you know, that was the. Yeah?
The sadhu is happy even if they are having some homosexual relations.
Now, hearing about these things, sometimes devotees think, well, you know, we should make our own organization or go to maybe join the Gauriya Math where they don't have all these problems, but. These things are everywhere, actually. There's no Gauriya Math unless it's just three people. Even there it may be, where these kind of things don't go on. The manager of our Mayapur Center, who deals with different Gauriya Maths on land and land acquisition, so many different things, he was saying that as far as politics is concerned, he said in ISKCON, you know, among our GBC, sometimes there are disagreements, and sometimes, you know, actually it's much better than it used to be, but sometimes even the leaders, they have like strong disagreements. It used to be pretty rough, GBC. It used to be pretty rough in the Zonal Acharya days. I mean, really, like very strong fighting over zones, but that kind of thing. But nowadays, from what I understand, although I don't attend the GBC meetings, it's conducted in a fairly civilized manner, it seems to be.
They're boring.
It's so too civilized.
No fights or anything.
No fights, yeah. So there may be some disagreements in this and that. So anyway, Dayaram Prabhu was saying that we may have our politics and our disagreements, but as far as politics goes, compared to the Gauriya Math, we're strictly amateurs. Sorry to say, but actually it's a fact. And I have a friend, a devotee, who decided to join. He was in ISKCON for many years. He decided to join Gauriya Math. When we say Gauriya Math, anyway, there's no such thing as the Gauriya Math. There's about 700 different organizations, and it's always increasing because they split into one, and then another one, and another one, and another one. Exaggerating, maybe about 70. I don't know exactly. If it's 70 today, it may be 71 tomorrow. You see, that's one thing that Prabhupada told Trivikram Maharaj. He said that the mistake that Gauriya Math made is that they're looking for the perfect man, but that is not possible. Therefore, I made the GBC. In other words, they have the idea that their leader must be some self-effulgent acharya. But self-effulgent acharyas like Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're not always present in the world. And nevertheless, the Krishna conscious movement has to go on. Now, if you think that we just have to have one, that was the mistake they made, that they wanted to make one acharya, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't say that. He said they should make a GBC and go on jointly managing. So if you say there's got to be one person in charge, acharyas of one of the mutts gets older, then immediately, or even before, his sannyasi disciples are just positioning who can be in charge and making their followers so they can grab this temple and that temple. All these things are going on, which doesn't happen in our society because we have the principle of GBC. Even some of the GBC members, they may change or they may get fed up and leave it, or they may fall down, but it goes on without one leader and without splitting into multi-subgroups. So that's required for preaching. We have to stay together if we're going to make any effect. If it's simply a personality cult based on one person, then you'll get dozens of joint groups which are not very effective for doing anything and which can't fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas. So anyway, sometimes we think that... Anyway, I was saying my friend who joined one Gauriya Math, he decided to do that. He's still my friend. So I met him and he said that actually... all the problems in ISKCON, we have it in our mat also. Even though my guru is, you know, generally people think of him as a very advanced Vaishnava, but he has no control over what's going on in his mat. And we have all the same problems, and probably, considering the size, relatively we have more. We have less, but because we're much smaller, we have less problems, but proportionately, we probably have more. He said, the only thing is it's just not publicized, that's all. He said, otherwise in our organizations, there are people who are interested in becoming Krishna conscious. And he said, there are many people who are not also, who are there for the, they're there for the, there's a place to sleep and eat, and that's it. So problems are going to be there. Don't expect utopia. Our movement at the present time appears to be going through some particular difficulties, although, as I said yesterday, it's also a matter of perspective. Someone can look at a glass and say it's half empty. And then someone else can look and say, look, it's half full. So if you look at all the good things, there are many good things. If you look at the difficulty, you may have some difficulties. There's a crisis of faith because leaders have fallen down, especially so much credence was given to Harikesh, who's now fallen away, so that has created a lot of a leadership gap, you might say, and it's very difficult to lead at the present time because people are not so certain to follow. So we're going through a difficult period. Personally, I feel that Krishna's, for all our discrepancies, that if we are, as much as we are sincere, Krishna will bless this movement and it will continue to flourish as it is flourishing. Just like you're saying that our devotees are preaching in Turkey, our devotees are preaching in Iran, publishing Bhagavad Gita in Iran. So, I mean, no Gauriya Math's ever going to do that. Their members are not going to go door to door canvassing people to take books to learn about the absolute truth, the potency. Even someone else I know who recently they joined some Gauriya Math organization. They told me that actually everyone knows the potency for spreading Krishna consciousness is ISKCON. The Gauriya Math, they're never going to do it. So I see that the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming down through this ISKCON organization up till now. If Krishna wants to cut it off, he can, but I don't see that he's cut it off. I don't think he will cut it off as long as we remain strict on the principle of following Srila Prabhupada, what he said, and trying to push on this movement, preaching. Preaching is the essence, Prabhupada said. That's another thing a lot of people are becoming confused by, because there's a lot of talk these days about how you have to cultivate your own spiritual life and consider the rasa and the bhava of the gopis in Vrindavan. But actually, Prabhupada never spoke about these. I was just reading today in one book, Satsuru Maharaj had written how Prabhupada had said that, why does Krishna come as a warrior when he doesn't have to? He can only dance with the gopis in Vrindavan, and all the demons, just by his thinking, can kill them. Why does he come as a warrior? Because he enjoys it. That's his lila. So you have to please Krishna according to how he likes. When he's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you don't bring him a flute. He's in a different mood. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood has been, his public mood is for preaching Krishna consciousness. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar angai guru hoya tara idesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. This way become a guru and deliver your country. Prithivite arte tatanagara digram. Sabatra pacha hoibe moranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this movement, the chanting of my name, will spread to every town and village in the world. Personally, my perception is that a lot of the problems in our society come because, as much as we don't keep this mood up, as long as we're not thinking of how to strain ourselves, how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, then we start thinking about my own needs, my own spiritual needs, my own spiritual cultivation, which is a kind of selfishness. If you think my need, then you don't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the same way. Another reason problems come is, as I was discussing yesterday, because of the social problems that arise due to trying to live according to the norms of an enlightened civilization, an enlightened culture, Krishna consciousness, in an unlightened, hedonistic society. So that also presents problems. But problems in one sense, I mean, one way are problems and you can get crushed. Another thing is problems, yes, challenge, let us face them, taking help from Krishna, with faith that Krishna is stronger than Maya. So if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna can help us conquer over all problems. Just like, who's that saying that? They brought the news to, maybe it was in this book I was reading also, they brought the news to Prabhupada the first time that some people in America had made a big court case against ISKCON as a brainwashing society, and they wanted to make millions of dollars case against ISKCON, how we're misleading the public and brainwashing. And he thought, he was amazed when he saw Prabhupada's response. Prabhupada was immediately enlivened. He became very happy. Isn't that amazing? The big case. The Hare Krishna movement is spoiling the youth of America. It should be closed. It should be stopped. Prabhupada is immediately enlivened. And he said, oh, this is very good. That means that they're feeling the weight of our movement. It means they're feeling it a threat. That means our preaching is successful. On the basis of this challenge, we will preach more and prove that Krishna consciousness is bona fide. So a difficulty, you can take it as something to crush you if you don't have spirit. But if you have spirit, then you take it as a challenge. That was another question that came up to me. Are the GBC supposed to be Brahmins or Kshatriyas? Because Brahmins are supposed to be advisors and Kshatriyas are people who get out in the field with their swords. Managers, administrators. Well, Prabhupada once said that I want Brahmanas with the spirit of Kshatriyas. That should answer the question. Just like Prabhupada, he was absolutely Brahminical, concerned with philosophy. At the same time, he was concerned with administration, because you know, Prabhupada said management follows preaching like a shadow. If you preach, then people come, then there has to be some kind of organization. Otherwise, if you don't organize, if you're simply all ethereal, simply preach and Hari Bol, no organization, then without organization, there's no system for people to come into Krishna consciousness and advance. There has to be some place where people can come and hear about Krishna, some place where we can cook and offer them prasad, where we can worship the deities and instruct people in deity worship. There has to be some organization. Otherwise, our preaching won't be effective. So if you're preaching is a Brahminical activity, but management follows preaching like a shadow. So there has to be some organization. And organization means there will be challenges, there will be opposition. So also you have to face that. So should the GBC be Brahminical, or should it be a Kshatriya body or whatever? Well, both. They're unavoidable. Many times Prabhupada said, I just want to retire and write my books. He'd say, arrange for me to go away 6 months where no one will disturb me. So the GBC secretary is arranging, where shall he go, this, that. The next day, an invitation, please come to Paris to preach. We have arranged some public program. Can you come? Prabhupada said, yes, immediately we shall go. But Prabhupada, we're arranging for you to go away for 6 months. Prabhupada would laugh and say that. That will not be in this lifetime. He said, it's glorious for a soldier to die in the field. So, Anand said, our movement is very heavy. Yes. I would say, yes, it's heavy, it's a pushing. I would say that's coming from Prabhupada also, because Prabhupada was pushing. Prabhupada wanted to get a lot done in a short time, and he did, didn't he? It didn't come simply by smiling and saying, I love you. Prabhupada was preaching very strongly and pushing people. Someone told me, join the movement 2 days. Put in a car with 5 other devotees who were just... total had been in the movement about 6 months, go off to open a new center. Send devotees off to Japan. Three devotees, average age 22. Average time in the movement, 15 months. Go off to Japan, where there's no movement, they don't know a word of Japanese. Go and start the movement in Japan. That was Prabhupada's mood, and devotees, they did. Now later on they might think, well, you know, in my youth I didn't go to college and I didn't get a degree and now I'm 35 years old. But the Prabhupada was praying, he gave them that risk to take and they willingly took it. And so that's glorious. That's how the Krishna consciousness movement spread. And it was heavy pushing. So many books were distributed all over the world. It wasn't just like the Sankirtan leader can say, Prabhu, do you think you'd mind going out and maybe trying to sell a few books? If you do, otherwise I'll make a nice comfortable bed for you and fan you. And it wasn't done like that. It was, hey, come on, look, you know, you've got 5 minutes to take prasad and then we're off. And here's your book bag. When you finish this one, this is for the morning. There's another one after lunch. That's how it was done. And it was, the devotees were very blissful when they were doing it. It was pushing. It was heavy. It was pleasing to Krishna, and the Krishna consciousness spread. And many things were done. Prabhupada gave the framework in such a short time. So yes, heavy. A movement was, maybe to a lesser extent now, is a heavy movement. But what is the result of that heaviness? The fight against Maya. The movement has spread so nicely all over the world. There's some kind of like Zen Buddhist idea that the guru simply smiles at you and you smile back and then you see a light in between your eyes. It's not like that. We're full of so many different anarthas, and full engagement in Krishna's service, pushing. That is the way to take them out. So Prabhupada was doing that. It's a pushing movement. So, Sridhar Maharaj, you want to say? I'm sure there's many things that could be said. Yeah, Janak also wants to say something. All right. Sridhar Maharaj, please. You don't need a mic. You still, despite your sickness, you have a good, strong voice.
Relativize Srila Prabhupada, that he's one of many Gaudiya preachers.
Right, yeah.
All pure devotees. ISKCON is just being fanatic for Prabhupada. We should hear from many enlightened souls. And I was hoping that you would comment.
Yeah, I'm a little heavy on that line, you know, when I get into discussing this kind of thing.
I wanted to hear your heaviness.
Yeah, many enlightened souls. Actually, I discussed this a little bit yesterday, you know, all these wonderful, now they're being advertised as Paramahamsas, but, you know, we were all going to hell. But not one of them even had the slightest idea to come and save us. The only one who even thought about doing it, let alone do it, had suffered two heart attacks on the boat and went among all the crazy hippies, one of who tried... Do you know when someone tried to kill Prabhupada? And Prabhupada was afraid. One hippie he was living with went on LSD and Prabhupada was afraid he was going to kill him. So none of them... You know, what does Paramahamsa mean? It means an advanced devotee, right? So, advanced means if you're actually a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you should have some compassion and mercy. But all of them together never dreamed of trying to save the Western devotees. And almost all of them, when Prabhupada brought his Western disciples back, now they're very anxious to have so many Western followers, which they don't make themselves by going out on the streets, but by going among ISKCON devotees and saying, hey, ISKCON's no good. Come and join me, I'll give you the real bhav. But at that time they're saying, oh, these are all lechers, they can't be Vaishnavas, they're criticizing Prabhupada so much. So, if you like, you can say Paramahamsa, but I don't see. I mean, anyone can talk, in one sense, all right, they've spent their life serving Krishna in some way or other. But when Prabhupada was asked about this, he said that among my godbrothers, he said they have no brain for preaching. They have no brain or idea how to preach Krishna. That was Prabhupada's standard. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's standard. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can test the greatness of a Vaishnava by how many Vaishnavas he has made. So it's very easy to say this person's a Paramahamsa, that person's a Paramahamsa. And also, another thing they say is that they always like to say, well, Swami Maharaj, they don't like to call him Prabhupada. They think he made a mistake. It was something that really, really upsets me is that, at least in the Western world, and mostly nowadays in India also, whoever's coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, it's through Prabhupada and his organization, right? But then someone goes and joins some Gauriya Math. And they call Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. Why should they? As if it's not correct to call Prabhupada Prabhupada. In other words, they know better than Prabhupada. Someone who was eating beef a few years ago. No, Prabhupada shouldn't be called Prabhupada. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, they'd still be eating beef. They'd still be taking drugs. They wouldn't know anything about Krishna. But they've decided that Prabhupada shouldn't be called Prabhupada. It's too much. Shouldn't praise him so much. They say that he was a good businessman. He was good at spreading Krishna consciousness. But for the real highest ras, you have to come to me. He can only give you the general idea. But we have to give you the highest ideals. Although I don't see that they actually, I mean, you can talk about the gopis in Vrindavan and so many things, but actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't approve that you should talk about all these things. As Prabhupada said, when some of his followers started to discuss gopi leelas, Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. When you're free from sex desire, then discuss gopi leela. If you're not, don't. For you should discuss how to get free from all these things. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very much against neophyte devotees discussing these things. If you're not fit, don't go for that. Don't try for that. You're not fit. So nowadays we find many people, they like to talk about these things, and they'll say, just you take the dust from my feet, or you take my blessings, and then you'll get gopi bhav. But it's factually speaking, it doesn't happen, because people who join their society, they may think they're on such a high level, but they're fighting among themselves like anything. That's a fact. And they will fight because they don't have the actual higher mission, which is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they must fight. They don't know anything else. Whoever's joined the Gauriya Math, that is their culture, fighting. That's the present Gauriya Math was founded on disobedience to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Instead of cooperating, they fought amongst each other. And that's been their culture ever since. And that's what they're going to do. So, I mean, if you don't want to call Prabhupada Prabhupada, then, you know.
Don't come to our Sunday feast.
Don't come to our Sunday feast, no. I mean, it's very offensive. It's very offensive. To saying that, well, Prabhupada, this is a term which is applied especially to the topmost spiritual masters, Jiva Goswami Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. So why not Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? Why do they want to leave this name off? Why don't they recognize that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Why don't they recognize his great contribution? Why do they want to drag him down to their level? He is Prabhupada. How can you deny that? It's simply enviousness. It is simply enviousness, that's all. On one hand, they'll say, yes, yes, Swami Maharaj did so many great things, but then often they'll say, yes, yes, we like ISKCON, and Swami Maharaj did so many nice things, not calling him proper, and then they kind of win your confidence, and then they'll say, but then they'll gradually introduce so many things. Do you know, in his household of life, I heard one, he was selling alcohol. He was selling alcohol. Maybe. Prabhupada was a pharmaceutical. He was selling pharmaceuticals, right? So most of them have many of them have alcohol base. This saying this kind of thing means that because they are not on that level, they want to drag Prabhupada down. Do you see? You can't equal Prabhupada's speeds. So instead you have to say, you see, he was selling alcohol. What kind of is this Vaishnav mentality? Another thing you'll find, Gauriya Math, now I know we may be on delicate ground here because we're not supposed to offend Vaishnavas, but I'm just going to talk about some factual things that happen. Just like one lady in Slovenia told me, she was invited by one of her friends to accompany her to her initiation, which was being performed by a visiting Gauriya Math guru. So she went, and then when the ceremony was finished, she was told, you are also initiated, your name is such and such. She had no intention of being initiated, but all of a sudden she found, now I'm so-called initiated. I mean, there are some different points here. Now one thing, why should someone initiate someone else without knowing them, when according to Shastra, you should wait at least 6 months? The disciple should say, yes, I want to be initiated by you, should approach the guru. Now that the guru approaches the disciple, please, I would like to initiate you. It's also completely against Vaishnava etiquette to initiate someone who's been cultivated and has a relationship with others, is it not? Can you understand that? If someone's been coming to ISKCON centers, brought to Krishna consciousness like that, And then, without any discussion, suddenly they're initiated by someone else. Is it not against proper etiquette? And why would anyone want to do it? I mean, you may say Paramahamsa because they're 65 years old, they talk very softly, they're Bengali, and you may think, well, that's not the qualification of Paramahamsa according to Shastra. Nowhere in Shastra does it say that as soon as a Bengali becomes 65 years old, he becomes a Paramahamsa. So sentimentally, you may think, yes, it's so nice, but I just wonder, why should someone be so anxious to make disciples so cheaply? Why? Have they really got anything better to offer? I mean, if you join ISKCON, you have, just like here, you have your Bhakti Sangha, isn't it? Isn't it in Croatia you have Bhakti Sangha, whereby each person coming to Krishna consciousness is individually looked after? But there's no system. It's just if you join Gauri Mahapurusha, all of a sudden, as soon as you walk in, whether you like it or not, you're initiated. And that's it. I got the mercy of my Paramahamsa Guru, but then there's no system to train you up. There's no sadhana or any. So the only thing you can come to do is come to an ISKCON temple, and then you criticize, this is no good, that's no good, while you take the Sunday feast. And try and take people away. Yeah.
Can I throw a wrench in your works?
Go on.
Prabhupada initiated people in the beginning in a week or two.
Yes, Prabhupada did, yeah. Actually, the very first devotees Prabhupada initiated, they were with Prabhupada for some time, but then when he went to San Francisco, he initiated people very quickly. Well, Prabhupada was doing that he wanted to establish the Krishna Conscious Movement. It was an emergency situation. He wanted initiation means a commitment. So Prabhupada wanted to bring people in and bring them up. Later on, he didn't do that. Later on, he sometimes did it. Prabhupada later on did it sometimes. Mostly later on he would sometimes do that in India. Where if he saw that people are very pious, which many Indian people are, he would initiate them more or less on the spot. They would come and ask for initiation, and Prabhupada would give it to them. Even the Chief Justice of Madras asked Prabhupada for initiation, and Prabhupada, he was still drinking tea, and Prabhupada said, well, in your case, I'll make an exception, initiate him on the spot. Because Prabhupada had his own reasons. He was preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, establishing the mission of Krishna consciousness. So that was the risk that he took. And also, as an empowered acharya, he was doing the work of Krishna. You could say he had the license to do that. But why anyone else should do that? It's not that if they don't immediately get initiated on the spot by someone, that they're not going to get initiated. They may think, well, I have to establish my mission. But as Prabhupada said, why should their mission be different to ISKCON's mission anyway? Prabhupada once proposed that there was some proposition that all the Gauriya Mats could work with ISKCON. Prabhupada said, yes, we will give them one seat on the GBC, all of them together, and we will keep the rest, because we are doing, proportionately, we're doing that so much more preaching than them, so they can have one seat. Personally, I'm not very convinced, and I would say anyone, before you take initiation, whether it's from ISKCON or whoever you take from, you should follow the Shastric injunction to carefully consider what you are doing, what will be the result of that, and do it on the basis of knowledge, not sentiment. And if someone comes in, someone's from Gauriya Math and says, now you're initiated, you may be afraid to say no. But you should say, I'm sorry, I didn't ask for initiation. They'll do that. They'll see you and say, you're initiated. What are you going to say? All kinds of things. Like, they'll invite you to a program, and they hand out japa beads, chanting beads. Now, we all chant one round of japa together. Who's not initiated who would like a spiritual name? Oh, that sounds nice. Okay, your name is this. So now you chanted on the beads with me, and you got a name from me, you're my disciple. Initiating by trickery. Is this the proper system? Is this correct? Is this a transcendental exchange? No. Now another question came up in this relation. Someone was asking me, Damodar from Serbia. This is that, well, how can I have faith in my guru when I've seen so many gurus have fallen down? It's a relevant question. So that you should see, don't take initiation if you don't have faith. You should have faith. But faith in what? Now, like I was saying, topmost Paramahamsa guru like Prabhupada is not in this world all the time. He's not all. Now others may pose to be. They may say that someone's coming, this is a Paramahamsa, you should set, in ISKCON there are no Paramahamsa gurus, you have to accept Paramahamsa guru, you have to go to Gorima. But like I say, just to be 65 years old in Bengali is not the qualification to be a Paramahamsa. Now, you should have faith, but that faith should be based on something reasonable. Now, if you see that an ISKCON sannyasi or householder guru is faithfully following sadhana, following Srila Prabhupada, studying Srila Prabhupada, preaching according to Srila Prabhupada's books, is steady in his service, is dedicating himself to spreading Krishna consciousness, I would say it's reasonable to have faith in such a person. You see how they deal with you? That some fell down doesn't mean that everyone will fall down, as some people think. Now you may say, well, Harikesh, you know, we all thought he was the biggest and he fell down. Now I would say that his fall down, or any fall down, is proof that Krishna consciousness works, not that it doesn't work. How is that? Because if a sannyasi has much intimate association with a woman, gets more involved in money and business than in preaching to devotees, has very little association with devotees. I mean, this is what Harikesh Maharaj was doing, wasn't it? He had a lot of association with his masseuse, and he was getting involved in money and business, speculative stock market business. So it's not what a sannyasi should do. So it was practically inevitable. I mean, even Prabhupada, although you could say he didn't have any need to, but he didn't keep a coterie of women disciples around him, and he was always involved in matters of Krishna consciousness. He would get involved in money and management and so many things, but basically he was always talking the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if someone's not strictly following, then you should see. So make your choice very carefully. And actually we should be, as the saying goes in us, we should be proactive. This may be a mistake, you know, I was saying before, that we see someone is doing something shouldn't be done, but we don't like to say because we don't want to make an offense. But actually we should say, if someone's doing something which is deviating from the proper line of Krishna consciousness, we should say, before a minor deviation becomes a major deviation. Yeah, someone's going to say something. We don't have much time. Yeah.
The biggest problem in ISKCON for the last 25 years is the lack of protection. That's what every devotee will say in the world now. There was no protection in the last 25 years. We've seen that there was like this information from the child abuse protection office. There was 1,000 children abused from 220 perpetrators. So brings out
220 perpetrators? Were there that many teachers? Really? Yeah, yeah. But what is that abuse? I mean, like I say, in America they have this term psychological abuse. If someone shouts at someone else, I mean, these things do happen. I think they may be taking the term abuse too far. Psychological abuse, that means if anyone ever says something which someone else doesn't like, you can call it psychological abuse. Anyway, go on with your point. In other words, you're making the point there has been a lot of child abuse.
Now this lawyer, he's with the Catholic Church for the rape of 11 boys.
Yeah.
And they got $120 million from the Catholic Church. Now I don't know how many hundred of these Coca-Cola boys they're suing Eastman. The same lawyer who took the case.
Yeah.
And he's now suing Eastman. Now this is, he can deprive Eastman of all these assets, money.
Yeah.
It's a very, very big
Yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah.
Now, the two reasons why I think that Apollo Kshatriya should lead our society, because he knows how to protect every member of our society, especially the vulnerable ones, women and children.
Actually, why don't you speak this in the mic? Okay. This should be the last question, because Sridhar Maharaj's seminar is about to begin. Mm.
I think the Brahmanas are too sensitive people to take this care of these problems. They can cope with these problems. Kshatriyas are the ones that...
You're saying we should have a more strong Kshatriya kind of leadership. Yeah, there are different opinions. I mean, Prabhupada said to make a GBC for the society. For a country, he said, the ideal system is to have a Kshatriya king. So there may be many different opinions about this.
Danger, where it comes, lurks from. When there is so much problems in our society, like now, devotees are starting to criticize our leadership, and they are losing faith in the leadership.
Yeah.
Since our leadership is composed of gurus, sannyasis, devotees may lose faith in
their own guru. Yeah.
Yeah. We have such nice gurus. They are loving and caring gurus, and they should be put in they shouldn't be put in such dangerous position in this world. It is much more important for them to give proper education for us, so we won't deviate like critics. And they should travel around the world.
Are you going to translate this? Are you remembering? Yeah. Can you remember all this? Or maybe you can speak it in Croatian afterwards. In the mic. Why don't you sit up on the mic? This is important stuff. Are you translating all the classes all day? It would be a little difficult, wouldn't it? Quite exhausting translating. You find it very, very tiring? Simultaneous translation, you're trying to think what the word means. Yes. It's a difficult job translating. I used to do it sometimes. English to Bengali. It's hard work.
I was saying this second reason for my point, just repeated, that there's so much problem in our society.
Shana,
now, the
workers
are starting to criticize our leadership. And I'm losing faith in them. Since our leadership is composed of gurus and sannyasis, the devotees might also lose faith in them. If they're such nice, loving and caring gurus, then they shouldn't be put in such a dangerous position. It is much more important for our society that they give proper education to every one of us and to travel around the world and inspire everybody nicely to surrender to Krishna, like they are doing very nicely on the summer camp. I just repeat them.
Yeah.
Next question is vašim odgovorom u vezi GBC strukture. Da naše društvo treba voditi brahmani. Zbog velikih problema child abuse koje se dogodilo u danas ostavljene djece, mislim, žene i djece, 25 godina, se nam više govori da trebamo imati kshatrije koji će voditi naše društvo. To je taj prvi razlog. Drugi razlog je taj, kad ima tako puno problema u Iskonu, kao sada, Brate, počinju kritizirati naše vodstvo i gube vjeru u naše vodstvo. A s obzirom da naše vodstvo čine većinu Guru i Sanjasi, brate, mogli izgubiti vjeru u njih. Imamo tako divne gurve koje su pune ljubavi i pažnje i vode tako lijepu brigu za nas sve učenike. I ne bi ih smjeli staviti u takvu jednu opasnu poziciju. Nama je puno važnije da nam oni daju pravilnu edukaciju i da puti okolo po svijetu i bi lijepo inspirirali sve ljude da se predaju Krišni kao što rade danas ovdje na našem lijepom kampu.
Personally, I tend to agree. I personally think it would be very nice if maybe some of the if the GBC could be recomposed of disciples, of Prabhupada's disciples, and that the gurus simply travel and preach. That's my personal opinion. There are different opinions about this.
It's happening.
It is beginning to happen.
There is a body of devotees known as the GBC deputies, and most of them are second generation. So they're starting to take on more and more of the administrative work of the GBC. And the GBC is also being structured so that it will be divided into GBCs who are sannyasis and or preachers who have nothing to do with administration. They won't have to necessarily resign from the GBC, but they'll have nothing to do with zones and administration. Then there will be other GBC men whose only business is to look at your balance sheet in your temple and see that your accounting system is okay and follow up on GBC resolutions. And then there'll be another group of GBC who will be more along the line of ministers, who will develop ministries to develop many training programs to do with everything under the sun.
Okay, well, that's the advantage of having a GBC emeritus address you. I don't know, like I said, I don't really know what's going on.
Neither do I.
I'm only on the theoretical level. I don't actually know what's going on. Anyway, I think we can understand that the measures are being taken to tackle the many problems which our movement is facing due to inexperience or whatever. And Hare Krishna. It's not going to solve all the problems, simply discussing about them, but there's no harm to know about them, and problems will always be there. Do we want to continue this seminar anymore? Does anyone want? You want to? You have to tell me what to discuss because I can. No, not now.
More problems.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else we want to discuss. Do you understand? I was thinking tomorrow to speak about Lord Balaram at this time.
Whoa,
that'd be nice.
You can tell us about the problems Lord Balaram had.
Didn't have any children.
But he had lots of wives. Girlfriends.
Yeah, if you have lots of girlfriends, I guess you have lots of problems. Whoops, not supposed to say that kind of thing. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad Sridhar Maharaj came around because he gave us some. I was just speaking on the ethereal platform. They gave us some factual information. Jai Ho!
Actually, one of the most astute, intelligent members of our society, who happens to have a PhD in the history of religious movements and philosophy, His Grace Rabindra Sarup Maharaj, has analyzed other organizations, other religious traditions, and how they have progressed in their development from infanthood, from conception to infanthood in their overall development. And he said, for 30 years, we're doing real well.
Yeah.
You know, we're not that bad off in comparison to other world religions, believe me.
Another thing, if I can have the mic for a second, is that recently Ravindra Swarup Prabhu conducted a several-day seminar on the history of ISKCON, going through its various problems. So if you really want to know in detail, you know, the ins and outs of the Zonal Acharya period and all this kind of thing, you can get those tapes by ordering them from... You have them, don't you? If you're in Slovenia, you can... You can order them from Radha Desh in Belgium. If you're really interested in all the details. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow I'll speak about Lord Balaram at this time.